friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Well, I'm glad that you've tuned in this morning. Debbie and I are so humbled and honored that you have made a choice. We know you make a choice to tune in and to listen to us. And we, hey, listen, folks, we're glad. We're glad that you do. And we pray that our time together will be a blessing to you. We pray that it will honor God the Father. We pray that it will edify the believer. We pray that it will stir the hearts of the lost and the undone. And, oh, friend, I'll tell you what, we take this calling seriously. We certainly do. We're excited, excited, excited about the message the Lord has laid on my heart. It's going to be more extemporaneous than maybe some of you would want, but this is just the way the Lord has dealt with me today, and I'm willing to be obedient to Him. I do believe that He can take my broken words, friend, my poor speech and my inabilities, put His touch on it as I seek to honor Him and the Word that He has given to us and make it to be a blessing to your ears and to your heart. And that's what I want it to be. But right now, Deb's got a song queued up, tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is This Path I Take. And I'm going to tell you something. Whatever path you're on is important. And I'm afraid too many today are on the wrong one. I'll be back with the message out of Joshua 1.
This path I take. They made it home.
what path you're on, but it's going to lead you somewhere, and it's going to lead you to your eternal home, whether it be in a place called heaven or that place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And I'm going to tell you real quick, I'm going to tell you real humbly, I'm going to tell you real plainly, you best be on the right road. There's a road that leads to destruction. There's a road that leads to everlasting life. And friend, listen, you need to make the right choice today. Now, I'm not going to talk about this path I take, but I'm going to talk about the book, friend, that'll get you on the right path. I'm going to talk about this book. That's going to be the text for this message. And this book is the Bible, the Word of God. I'll say more about that in just a minute or two. You may not agree with me and what I'm going to say, and that's okay if you want to continue to be wrong. But I'll tell you what, friend, you ought not to be able to question my passion about this, my convictions on this. And look, there's a lot of people that are lost. Too many things. That's why America's lost. The things that we have lost. That's why we see the things going on in our nation, in our world, friend, that we are seeing, because we've abandoned some things. We have released some things. We have, friend, forgot to embrace what we used to love and honor and adore. And I'm talking about the Word of God. Now look, I must read several verses of Scripture, although I don't want to because of time. But I've opened my Bible to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. It begins this way in verse 2. Moses, my servant, God was talking to Joshua, and the nation of Israel is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land which I give unto thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, now listen to this, all of you anti-Semites, all of you that have been chanting from the river to the ocean, from the river to the sea, he said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon under the great river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. God's not changed His mind about the land of Israel. His land grant to the descendants of Abraham. It's their land. They're in it and they're to stay. Glory. Hallelujah. Regardless of what Hamas says, regardless of what the Pope says, regardless of what the international community says, there's a higher power than man. Thank God there is a higher power than man. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Boy, that's an amazing passage of Scripture. Hey, listen, friend, you want to prosper, obey the Word of God. You want to prosper, you want to have God's touch on you. You want to be everything that you want to be and a whole lot more you never knew you could be. Hey, immerse yourself in the Word of God until the Word of God gets in you. And obey it. Live it out. Listen, friend. Believe it. Understand it. And live it out in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. God will bless you without a doubt. America didn't get to the place that she's at today. Friend, listen, without first believing the Word of God, living the Word of God, embracing the Word of God, propagating the Word of God, living the Word of God, and where she's at now. We're on our way down. Friend, listen. Look, we're seeing hell displayed on the streets of America. Look at the way we are now. Friend, listen. I'm telling you, friend, what's going on is because we've abandoned the Word of God and the God of the Word. He said this book of the law. Now listen to this. This book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Hey, listen, friend, I want to talk to you, and I ought to read a few more, but I don't have time. I want to talk to you about this book. When I'm talking about this book, I'm talking about the Bible. Now look, let me tell you what God was talking to Joshua about. He was talking at that time about the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the Pentateuch, which is known as the Torah. It is the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But that, friend, listen, that phrase, this book, it has an implication to it, to the Word of God as a whole. Everything that is contained in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everything from the book of Genesis to the book of the Revelation. It's talking about my book, God's book, His Word, the Bible. Hey, listen, friend, the Holy Word of God. May I tell you something today, friend? Listen, I'm a Bible man. Do you hear? I get my world view from the Word of God. I get my principles of faith and fundamentals from the Word of God. I want you to know it's my rule of faith and practice. I don't need anything that man has written. I don't need anything that a denomination has put out. I don't need any other kind of publication. All I need, friend, is an old-fashioned King James Bible, and that is authorized, and that has the touch of God on it, that's pure, preserved, and powerful, and it's plain enough for even an old country boy like me to understand. And you know what? That's why people hate the Word of God so much. I'm talking about especially the King James Bible. That's why we've got so many different versions of it. People use the phrase that won't hold water, about as weak as anything that I've ever heard. Well, you can't understand the King James Bible. No, that's not the problem. Friend, listen, it's so simple. Bless God that they understand it clearly. They want another version that suits them. Can I tell you, friend, listen, God wrote this book in a way that suited Him, so that if we would submit to it, I read it, believe it, I embrace it, ingest it, and try, bless God, to live it out of us, and then we'll be pleasing to God ourselves. There's so much to say about this book. I don't have the ability. I definitely don't have the time. But boy, I'll tell you, friend, listen, I'm going to defend this book. I'm going to stand on this book. I was saved hearing this book. Hey, you know what? I've been sanctified by believing and living this book. And I believe one day I'll be glorified because I have. Hey, listen, we're living in strange times. Would you agree with that? Would you at least agree with me on that point of view? Well, there's a reason, friend, that it is strange. There is a reason, and more than one, actually, that we're where we're at. There's a why. There is always a cause behind the effect. And I'm telling you, where we're at today, listen, it's pathetic. Hey, listen, we're a nation that is a Christian nation. We've been founded upon the principles of the Word of God. And you may just shake your head. You may say, there's one of those old-fashioned Bible-thumping crazy preachers. Hey, look at her history. Look at her documents. Look at her monuments. You cannot deny, bless God, the place that Christianity and the role that she has played in the formation, the continuation, and the blessing of, the growth of, the power of, the position of our nation. Bless God, it's because we're a Christian nation. We've founded our principles, our laws, even our divisions of government upon this book. And it's undeniable, friend. You may be, and I'm not trying to be mean to you, you may lack knowledge, which is ignorant about these great truths, but I'm telling you, friend, listen, they'll stand up in the court of law. They'll stand up in the trials of time and in the face of any and every opposition that comes against it. But let me tell you what I think about this book. Hey, listen, friend, we've lost our fascination with it. Do you hear me? There was a time that everybody was fascinated with the Word of God. I mean to tell you, it was reverence. Do you hear me? It was considered holy. I mean to tell you, it was not a book among books, but it was a book above books. I mean, it was a book in a category all itself. It was an inspired book. Listen, friend, I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God. I believe it was God-breathed. I believe over a period of 1,600 years, God used 40-plus men that were holy men of God. They were moved by the Spirit of God to write every word of God. And I want you to know, friend, I'm so old-fashioned that I believe what Paul wrote in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where he said He said this, I want to get it right. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he goes on to tell us why and what it would do. Hey, I'm not one of those that, bless God, have another version that you have to guess about when you read it, whether or not what you've read is inspired or not. Hey, I'm taking the old King James Bible. That's been tried and proven time and time again to be authoritative, to be clear, to be powerful, to be true, to be trustworthy. It's been tried. It's been denied. It's been mocked and ridiculed and still is. But I'll tell you, the truths of it are sure. The prophecies of it have been perfectly fulfilled. And those that haven't been will be. I'm telling you, friend, listen. There is a power in it. There is a purity in it. And I'm telling you, friend, you ought to make a place for it in your heart and in your life, sir, ma'am. I'm telling you, I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God. You know what? I believe in the preservation of it. I believe when I hold in my hand this King James Bible that we've got the Word of God that God intended for this generation. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it's no accident. I believe, bless God, God superintended it. God watched over it. And when He moved in the heart of King James to authorize it, as the rivers of water are in the hands of the Lord, He turneth them whithersoever He will. Hey, listen, so are the hearts of the kings of man. I don't believe it's an accident that King James, hey, listen, said we need a version of the Word of God for this people. Hey, I want you to know, friend, I believe it's complete. We're living in a day when it's downplayed. We're living in a day when people think that God's still given revelation, God's Word, that we have, we call the Bible, is incomplete. They're saying that listen, God is giving new revelation to people continually. What God wants us to know is not limited to the Bible. I want you to know it is. When John laid his pen down after writing the revelation, hey, friend, listen, the Word of God was complete. Way back over in the Old Testament, when God told Moses to establish the tabernacle, to build that table of shewbread, and put 12 loaves of bread on it, stack them up in rows of two, in rows of six, in columns of two. When you look at that, listen, it's a picture of the Word of God, 6 and 6. We've got 66 books in this Bible that you and I have, 66 books in this Word of God. It's not an accident. It's not a fluke, but it's a fulfillment of God's will. It's a fulfillment of the picture that God gave to Moses and anyone else that wants to read it. Hey, friend, listen, I've heard people that were just absolutely filled with a lack of knowledge. Absolutely, I'm going to use that harsh word, stupid, when they said that, for instance, John 3:16 and the 25 words that make it up, and the middle word being the Son, the middle word being Son, was a fluke of translation. I'm telling you, friend, there are no accidents with this Word of God. Hey, listen, friend, we've got We've got a problem with corruption in our day. We've got a problem with corruption in our day. You say, what with, preacher? With the new versions. That's why we're in the shape that we're in America today. In our homes, in our churches, in our schools, and in our government. We're using corrupt versions of the Word of God. We're using versions of the Word of God that have been translated from that corrupt Greek text that was written by Westcott and Hort. And if you just go online and read about their desire, their intent, their effort, bless God in producing something. Hey, it was a corrupt version of the Greek text of Scripture. No, I'm telling you, friend, their letters to each other are amazing. And yet today, every version of the Bible, how that's new and revised and tries to replace the King James, bless God, came from that corrupt version. You know what? I'm going to stick with the old Masoretic text. I bless God to produce the King James Bible. And that's produced more revivals than all the other books they call Bibles put together. In fact, we've not had a real revival, bless God, worldwide, a life-changing, life-shaking, hey, since. Bless God, I'm telling you, I'm going to stay away from a corrupt version that we can connect the downgrade of America to when they started bringing in that a new authorized version, that new American standard. You do a parallel, a timeline, when we got these new versions of the Bible, and as they have increased in number, as they have increased in, quote, popularity, as they have increased, bless God, in usage and propagation and all of those things. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, we have gone down the tubes in this great nation called America. Look at the problems that we're having. Look at the way our churches are running. Bless God, we're neck deep. Hey, we're about over our head in apostasy, last day apostasy. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, it's because that we have abandoned the authority. We have abandoned, friend, and that book that's got God's hand on, God's approval on. Listen, it's not survived. This King James Bible has not survived for well over 400 years by accident. I believe, bless God, like I told you earlier, that God's not only able to inspire His Word, He's able to preserve it. And if He isn't, sir, ma'am, I'm telling you what, you and I have got a problem. We don't have assurance of our salvation. God can change His mind at any time. Something could happen. And although Charles Stanley's son, Andy Stanley, doesn't put any importance upon this great Bible and our faith being based on this Bible, this preacher does. You ought to. Hey, listen, everyone that names the name of Christ ought to. It's tried to have been to destroy. I mean, even when Jeremiah, I wrote the book, I presented it to Jehuda. I believe that's who it was, the king. Hey, he read a few lines in it. You know what he did? He was in the winter house. He took his pen knife, began to rip it up, throw it in the fire to burn it. And you know what God did? And God said, all right, Jeremiah, don't worry, son. I'm going to give you every word that I already gave you that the king cut up, and I'm going to give you a few more. I say glory. Hallelujah. Friend, listen, we ought not to alter the Word of God, but we ought to proclaim it clearly, loudly, definitively. Hey, listen, we ought to do it regularly. We ought to do it confidentially or confidently. And we ought to do it, friend, in a way that we and the people that hear us think we believe in its authority. Thank God. Listen, friend, I don't believe this is one book among many. I believe, like I've said earlier, this is one book above all others. Hey, listen, friend, I believe it's God's God God hand on it. I believe it's God's power in it. I believe it is God's Word. It just doesn't contain God's Word, but it is God's Word. Listen to the implication of my text again. This book. He didn't say these books. He didn't say those books. But He said this book. This book that He inspired Moses to write. This book, bless God, that had the hand of God on it. The superintendent of the Spirit of God over it. This book that holy men of God were used by God Almighty had to breathe on them and breathe through them His Word exactly as He desired it. And let me tell you, friend, listen. I know the King James is a translation. I know it is a version. But let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you something, my friend. I want you to know this. Bless God. God has made it such as it is. Do you hear me? If you look at the way that we're translated, when it was translated, why it was translated, even the 7 revisions of that this book, the King James book, how it went through. I bless God and go back over in the book of Psalms and see that His Word was purified 7 times. Not 5 and not 8, but 7 times. My friend, just read your Bible. Don't just take what theologians say. Don't just take anything that your pastor brings down the pike. If you've got somebody that said it doesn't matter what Bible version you use, I beg your pardon. It matters. Do you hear me? It matters. I look around. Look around, friend. As people as we watch the devaluation of the Word of God, how we see the destruction of America. We see the downgrading again of America. We see the corruption just exploding everywhere. We see the implications of things, friend, that are the result of abandoning this book. Hey, listen, we ought to have a strong devotion to it. Do you hear me? There ought not to be a deviation. We ought not to depart from it. Not one iota. Friend, I'm telling you, if you read it and believe it and live it, it'll bring blessings to you and yours. If you deviate from it, if you deny it, and if you go against its commandments, it's a book of commandments, not suggestions. Listen, you'll suffer. You'll suffer the judgment of God from it. Look, I gotta go. I don't generally do this, but I needed to today. Let me finish up with 3 things that I believe God would have me to finish up with quickly. There needs to be a devotion to it. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you ought to immerse yourself in the Word of God until it's immersed in you. I mean to tell you, you ought to get in it daily. You ought to eat it. You ought to esteem it like Job did, more than your necessary food. You ought to eat it with the joy of that the psalmist did when he said, that it's sweeter than honey, yea, than the honeycomb. If you've been called to preach and teach, you ought to make a clear declaration of it. You ought to preach it with passion, with fervency. You ought to preach it and teach it like you believe it. But you ought to live it the same way without the right kind of living. I'll tell you, friend, listen, you won't have the right kind of impact on those that are listening to you. And then, friend, there ought to be not only a devotion to it, a declaration of it, but there ought to be, again, a submersion in it. Get in it, friend, this blessed old book, till it gets in you. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the Word of God, the living Word of God, the breathing Word of God, the holy Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the preserved Word of God. And again, I'm talking about that old King James Bible. Hey, friend, I'm talking about this book. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. I'm thankful that You entrusted us with it and help us to preach it by Your grace, for Your glory in these last days. And we give You the praise, the glory, for the outcome of it, because we ask it in the name of Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. Amen. Thank you.